Hello and welcome to Gaming News Weekly. I'm Gareth.
And I'm Matt.
Matt, how you been? You good?
I'm alright. It could be better if we weren't having technical difficulties because I'm having a lightning storm over at my house and my power keeps shutting off, so it's getting rather frustrating, to say the least, to complete this podcast.
yeah, let's say, it's all these challenges that we just like to throw in just to, mix it up a little bit. At least it keeps happening in the first 5 minutes of the show instead of happening 40 minutes in. But, hey, we're getting quite good at this whole weekly thing, aren't we?
Finally. I mean, our podcast has had weekly in the name of it for the entire lifespan, so I feel like it's about time that we've tried to get onto a weekly schedule here. I think what helped me out was finally buying this mic.
Yeah, and that just thinking in your head, how many episodes have I got to record to make the money back on on the microphone? But hey, it's good, it's working well, we're sounding better. Apologies, there were some technical issues with the last episode. It decided to, for some reason, stop recording halfway through. But don't panic. I can see it now. I've got it up, so I'm going to be watching it like a hawk and making sure when we get past 5 minutes, we're still recording, which will be good. But, Matt, there's a lot to cover this week, isn't there?
There is. I was pleasantly surprised because I thought there was only going to be one thing to cover, and then you came up with four or five more stories, and they're actually really good stories. So I am pleasantly surprised about the amount of stuff that we have to cover.
Yeah, huge amount to cover, and thankfully we've not been playing a lot as good video game podcast hosts. We've not been playing an awful lot of games. So why don't we do what we always do, which is start with what we've been playing. Matt, why don't you go first?
So like what Gareth said, we haven't been playing much, and luckily it kind of balances out because we have a lot to cover today. But I kind of went back to a game that I played when it first came out, was State of Decay 2. The reason why I got back into it is one of my childhood friends from down south in Florida, he reinstalled it. He asked me to reinstall it, and I tried to get Gareth to play with us. He installed it, but he has yet to play with us.
I've had work.
But it was fun. The major reason why he got back into it and I did is because there was this new Juggernaut edition that came out. I guess you could probably compare it to like
the Ultimate Edition.
The Remaster Year Edition, where they revamped the graphics, they added in all the DLC, they added a whole bunch of free other stuff into it. So I was curious because I didn't play any of the DLCs. I 100%ed it before all the DLC started coming out. So it was a fresh experience for me going into it. And we ended up playing on the new hardest difficulty, Nightmare Zone. And we actually ended up playing with Davila. Your boy Davila played with us. And it was one of the best times I've ever had playing on State of Decay. The zombies are extremely lethal. Special zombies are extremely lethal. We came across a Juggernaut, which scared the crap out of all of us, and we were shooting them. We were running out of bullets, and then we just ended up piling on them and beating the crap out of them with all of our melee weapons. It was enjoyable. It was enjoyable between the highest difficulty of being the zombies being more deadly than the regular difficulties, while also being there with three other friends. Just made the game so much more enjoyable. And I liked it when it first came out. But me and Davila, we played it when it first came out, and we can definitely tell that the update has added a lot more stuff to it, and it also has made it a lot smoother experience. There's less glitches. You can tell the animations are more properly being animated and done correctly. It's a more fluid and smooth game. So I want Gareth to join in on us, if he could stop, doing that adult thing called working.
Can I just jump in? I just want to know, right, okay, so Davila played the game.
Yeah.
State of Decay 2. Did he spend $60 on it, or did he get it in Game Pass? Joe, hit us up in the Facebook comments.
That's a question I think not only you and I both want to know, but probably our listeners. But actually, I think he might have actually spent $60, unless, because when it first came out, I don't know if he had Game Pass or not.
Bless him.
I don't know. And you know what? I don't think I bought it either. I think I got it on Game Pass as well. But that's a good question. We're going to figure it out and we'll report back, because that is a, that's going to be a continuing question that we're always going to wonder about Davila now, if he wants to buy every game for $60 instead of waiting for it.
And let's just be honest. I think that needs to be a new scale as well. Would Davila spend $60 on this game, even if it was free?
Free. Yeah. All right. And then the other game has been Forza Horizon 4. I put this in the last episode that I've been playing it, and surprisingly, I've been getting into the Legoland DLC. Now, that doesn't mean I like the Legoland DLC. And I actually thought about how I wanted to talk about this, and I want to make it clear. It's not that I don't like Forza Horizon 4 or like the DLC as a game. I'm guessing what I don't like the setting. I don't like the whole Legoland setting aspect of it. Because the game itself, as I've mentioned many times, is amazing. The driving's amazing. The graphics are amazing. Everything about the foundational gameplay and the fun aspect of the game. The collectathon, I've been going around collecting all the stuff on Legoland just because it's fun collecting the stuff. One of the main aspects I actually like is when you do like jump in danger signs or beating speed traps, you get to see how your friends also ranked. And even though I got 3 stars, there were several times that I saw your name was beating me by like a few miles per hour, and I did it for like another 10 minutes until I beat your score, Gareth.
Well, I'll be re-downloading that.
That competition. There's just so many features. The game is amazing. It's just the setting of the Legoland that I just don't like. But I'm playing it because it's a fun game, and I love Forza Horizon, so I'm going to get through it. I'm going to probably complete as much of it as possible. I still don't like the Eliminator, and the online is just still doesn't interest me because everyone likes to ram me into the walls, so that's just not my forte. But it's still amazing, and I would still say if you want it, I mean, if you are interested in a racing game, Forza Horizon is it. Now, caveat, Forza Horizon 3 is on a sale right now for $9 for just the base game. I haven't played that one yet, and actually I think that's also a reason why I want to finish Legoland, so I can feel completed and I can move on to the next one without feeling bad. But I just want to insert that in there, that I've heard Forza Horizon 3 is probably one of the best.
So caveat to your caveat, that is because it's being delisted in a week's time. So
it's every 4 years.
Yeah, right? You've got to buy it now or you won't ever get it again.
Now I want to go out on a limb and say it might be the Games for Gold next game for next month. But that doesn't mean you have to get the DLC also before it gets delisted as well. It happened with Forza Motorsport 6. Because those get delisted as well. It came out for Games for Gold, so you could get the base game, but then all the DLC was stupid cheap, and I actually bought all the DLC for like $5 for everything or something like that. So I'm assuming it's going to have a very similar pattern with Forza Horizon 3. So
yeah,
probably on the next podcast or two, I will probably be playing through Forza Horizon 3.
Well, and as we know, that will be upon a weekly basis, which is very good. Cool.
Weekly, hopefully.
Gaming news, hopefully weekly.
So what have you been playing, Gareth?
So, surprise, surprise, I've been playing some more Siege. Finally, after having put a mode out called Mute Protocol that was broken, Siege took a risky gamble and totally pulled the new game mode out and reworked on it for a week. And put it back out. So, let me just quickly touch upon this mode. It is a mode where it's basically secure the area, much like you do normally in that game mode within Siege. So there's an objective, be in the room, secure it with only your team in there. It pauses securing when an enemy approaches, or is in the room with you. Deal with them, secure the area, win that round. Sounds simple, doesn't it, Matt? But
it does. It does sound, it sounds stupidly simple, but I feel like you're going to complicate it now.
Very much so. So within Mute Protocol, you have unlimited drones as an attacker, and as you jump into your drone, drive it round, find a new location, when you come out of your drone, you appear at that location. So it's the same for defenders. Cameras, all cameras are bulletproof, can't be destroyed. That includes the ones around the map. So they can look to an area, scan it, and they can jump to that location. Which leads to some very, very interesting YouTube videos, but leads to some very, very sad, angry moments for me when I'm like, where'd that guy come from? What happened? How do I do this? What's next? What am I even doing? Actually, I played a couple of games and I started to enjoy it a little bit. And then just constant people leaving the team, getting wrecked because there's only two of you. Ugh, I don't know. But it's a lot better than it was a week ago when it first came out and people were going invisible. They were coming out of the camera and they were still invisible. Something that they still haven't fixed is there is a momentary amount of invincibility when you come out of camera or drone. So if you're quick enough, you will always win that gunfight. Bit frustrating, but you know, it's probably more a thing for PC gamers that are going to be that quick and, you know, with reflexes, whereas on a controller there's sort of only so much you can really do, unless you're Matt and then he's good at everything. And then played just some unranked as well on there at two. I still really enjoy Siege, good game. And then chucked even more time into Skater XL. I just love the game. I think I'm just going to keep playing the game every week, regardless. I'm probably never going to mention it again until they put a multiplayer mode in or do an update. But I love this game. Skater XL, that's what I've been playing. So, like we said, not been playing a huge amount, but, you know, fortunately, we've got some new stories to talk about. And starting it off, we're going to talk about Siege straight away. Pretty big news, and maybe not the news Splinter Cell fans were really, really hoping for. Matt, we've got Sam Fisher joining us in Rainbow Six Siege. Matt, who is Sam Fisher?
Sam Fisher is the main character of Splinter Cell, the long-lost franchise that Ubisoft continuously likes to put into other franchises but does not want to make a new game for its own franchise.
Yeah, so he's appeared in Wildlands, Breakpoint. Again, he turned up in Breakpoint. It's like, what are you doing in here? He's also in that new mobile game, Elite Squad, which is, you know, a thing. And he's also having an anime made about him. Yeah. So we'll put... But no game. Been a little bit of controversy about his appearance in the game, not only because they haven't made a game about Splinter Cell. He's appearing in Siege looking absolutely nothing like any other Sam Fisher from any other game. Doesn't even look like he does in Conviction or Blacklist. So, you know, he's not got the typical three-sight night vision goggles. He's not wearing his full black suit. I just hope he's got that really cool pistol that you can unlock in Breakpoint, which is pretty cool. And I think, worst of all, Michael Ironside, the incredible voice of Sam Fisher is not going to be recorded for this character. I just... 4 lines, that's probably all it'll be. I'm putting up a barricade. You know, and I've shot a drone. I don't know. That'll literally be it. Why could they not have got Michael Ironside?
We don't know if it was him that didn't want to do it or Ubisoft didn't want to go back to him. So I think we should err on the side of caution because we don't know if it was either side, which side it was that didn't want to record. It is slightly upsetting. I mean, it's similar to the upset that we had when, what's his name? David Hayter wasn't the voice for Solid Snake for Metal Gear Solid 5. But the new guy that came in, I love David Hayter as Solid Snake, but at the same time, this new guy did, I think, really well to the point where I completely forgot about David Hayter when I was playing Metal Gear Solid 5. And I think this will be a... maybe not completely forgot about, but he did substitute and fill the role well enough for me to not think about that issue while playing the game. And I think that's going to be similar to here. I think he's going to be good enough for me to play and be like, oh, this is Splinter Cell. I'm okay with this. And then it's only going to be when I like completely analyze the fact that it's not the original voice actor. It will be an issue, but I don't think it's that big of an issue, at least to me. I feel like you might have a different thought because you seem a little more upset about it.
No, to be honest, I think it's just a little bit of frustration that if this is fan service, at least actually do fan service and, you know, have it so it's a real tribute to the franchise. So it's not the end of the world, but hey, Ubisoft, you could be doing better for, you know, your fans of that series and of Siege. But I think it'll be good. I think it'll be good. He looks pretty cool, actually, the character model. So that's...
Yeah, the new model does look pretty cool. And I mean, they put this character into, like you said, Wildlands at Breakpoint. I knew it was coming. And I don't fault them for that because even during the Xbox 360, PlayStation 3 era, they wanted a whole cross story between all their different games like Ghost Recon, Splinter Cell. They wanted that Tom Clancy Hawks game to be part of it. Mm-hmm. They had that voice activated RTS game, End War. It was all supposed to be intermingled. So I don't mind this intermingled universe characters jumping in between games. I guess the only real issue I have is that they continue to put him into games that aren't his games, and I would really like a new Splinter Cell game. I think that's really the major critique I have with this.
I tell you what, though, it does make me want Nomad in Siege now, because I think he's quite a cool-looking character.
I never thought about that. That would be pretty dope.
So Nomad would be pretty good. I think an operator from Advanced Warfighter would be pretty good. Or Future Soldier. Future Soldier would be incredible. Because they could have camo. Active camo. Wow, Ubisoft, that's for free. But please sponsor the podcast. And give us like free season pass.
Yeah, Advanced Warfighter... Those were my favorite Ghost Recon games. Those three games.
Yeah, a Future Soldier was unbelievable. I love that game. You know, and maybe Rabbids. Anyway, from
no, you
you Ubisoft, maybe getting a bit of critique. This next news story, and I think Matt's going to be the biggest to be. And upset by this story, I think. This, I think, quite quietly came out, Matt. I don't see anything about this until I was looking through for stories. So, existing copies of Control won't be upgradable to next-gen console versions. Matt, what do we think?
I think it's very disappointing. Very disappointing because, I mean, besides the big greedy ones like EA with their Madden franchise and 2K with their NBA franchise and having to pay for their upgrade system, the gaming atmosphere has been moving forward to more consumer friendly. Microsoft has been a huge step forward with that, with the smart delivery system, giving you free upgrades for all their first party titles and offering that system to the developers. And, you know, 505 game developers have always done really well to their consumers. They have made amazing games, and regardless of that they don't sell extremely well, they support them and they continue to pump out AAA quality games. Alan Wake is still really good. Quantum Break was amazing. And Control was my game of the year last year. Control is an amazing game. I'm still trying to push you to get it. I commented on their Facebook page, and we have a whole bunch of strangers trying to convince you to buy it too. And it's just an amazing game, and that's a game that I would go to the next gen and play. I think one of the major reasons why it came out so quietly is because they kind of like snuck in this announcement after their big announcement of the Alan Wake DLC for the Control. So it's been on this upward trend of positive stuff for Control that they were able to just to sneak it in, and it's disappointing. I think the main reason it's disappointing is because the day one supporters, even though I didn't buy it day one, I bought it a few months after, the people who have supported Control from the beginning, because it sold okay, it didn't sell as well as they would hope for, but the people who have bought it are basically, you know, getting their back turned towards them, because they're the people who invested the money into it. Now if they want to play on the next gen at the best fidelity and the best quality, they have to pump out even more money for it. And I haven't bought the DLCs yet. I was waiting for the second one to come out to buy the season pass, but now I'm contemplating on, well, why won't I just, I might just have to wait and buy that edition if I want to play the DLCs so I can get the best version of it. It's a really crummy mood in a setting where it was pushing for very consumer friendly products and upgrades. So I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. Oh,
that cuts deep. And I think an important thing to say is, so they announced that the Ultimate Edition, which would be coming out to PlayStation 4, it would be compatible with PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, PlayStation 5, and the Series X. It will include both the current Foundation DLC and the upcoming Alan Wake expansion. But other than that, is completely identical to the game that Matt has already bought. Would cost £30 in the Queen's money. So I think they clearly knew what they were doing maybe wasn't right, because it's not a $50, $60 pound game. And that's why it's only £30. The only problem is, if you bought this just the bog standard version when this first came out last year, by the time this Ultimate Edition comes out, if you really wanted to play it on next gen console where it'll look the best, it will be optimized, then you're going to be paying 80 to 90 quid on this game over a 2 year period.
That doesn't include if you bought the season pass.
Exactly, yeah. Which people did. So if you were a day one-er,
Rightfully so, because it was.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the game.
And I think that's a good point to make, is this game was overwhelmingly, you know, heralded as a fantastic game. It was a, you know, game of the year contender from the day dot. But just the way, I mean, the way how easy Microsoft and PlayStation now are starting to make it seem, how easy they've made it to do this smart delivery system. What's their excuse other than they are trying to fleece a little bit of money out of people. And that is just not something I think we were ever expecting to hear from Control, you know, in the same breath as Control. But crucially, this has not come from Remedy. This has come from 505 Games, the publisher. So Remedy have not commented as such on this yet. So, you know, never know. We've seen it before with Bungie and Activision. Could we see them move away because they don't agree with the decision? I don't know. But not good news, that, I don't think.
Not at all. It's just because Control was such an amazing game, and Remedy is an amazing studio, and they deserve... they deserve more money because all their games have generally been newer IPs and fresh ideas and fun, great gameplay. It's just disheartening to people who have supported them before this to now kind of get their back turned towards them, when I'm sure the people who have bought it day one and within the first few weeks probably would have played it on the next gen system too. But they probably lost on some sales now, because I feel like some loyal fans probably feel hurt by this.
Yeah. I think that there will be...
But at the same time, you will probably be able to buy the Ultimate Edition now. It's
Yeah.
Get the best possible edition for the best price.
I mean, when it comes to Game Pass, Davila will get it for $60. So, we're going to move on to our next story, which I think at first may have been a big news story. IGN did an emergency episode of their Xbox podcast because they were so keen to discuss this story, and they broke it on that show. And that is that Halo Infinite has been delayed until 2021. Well, we saw at the showcase, things didn't maybe necessarily go down as well as they maybe thought it would with regards to the Halo Infinite trailer, the gameplay trailer. Issues with lighting, issues with gameplay looking a bit boring. Seems like they did the right thing here, Matt. But, you know, what are your thoughts on this?
I do think strategically... they did make the right call. Like you said, after the gameplay demo, you know, showcased, the reaction was not as positive as Microsoft probably was hoping for. From my point of view, I liked what I saw from the gameplay-wise. The gameplay graphics was probably the most debated area, especially with the new meme of Craig, the brute. But the 4K trailer that came out did look better than the gameplay. And I think a lot of people didn't take in consideration that 343 took the suggestions from Halo 5. A lot of people did not like the art style of Halo 5, the ultra photorealistic. And they were hoping for more of a Halo 1 art style. And I think they did go back to that. And Halo 1 is not photorealistic. I think that's where Halo Infinite was drawing its inspirations from. Now, yes, there are still some lighting issues and it could have looked better, but I do think that's something that probably could have got ironed out before its November or December release. But it did cause a huge storm within all the fans, and I think this was the best way to address those concerns is by delaying it a little bit longer, giving 343 Studios more time to polish and appease more of the fans that were disgruntled by the gameplay and all that. But I was happy with what I saw from the gameplay. I'm disappointed because I was looking forward to seeing it. But what Miyamoto said, a bad game is a bad game forever, but a good game delayed is something along the lines of that. If you delay it and it's ending up being a good game, it'll be a good game. So if if it comes out being an awesome, still an even better version of the what we saw, I'm all for it. I don't mind waiting a little bit longer for an overall better package, because I feel like this Halo is going to stick around a little bit longer because their strategy changed with everything, because I don't know if we covered, but the multiplayer is going to be free now. It's going to be a free-to-play instead of what has been the norm for most multiplayer games.
And I think there's some critical bits. So, interestingly, they had debated Xbox Game Studios and 343 had debated on releasing the game in multiple sections, which I think would have been the wrong thing to do, I think. So they debated that, scrapped that idea. And I just want to quote Phil Spencer here, where he says, and I think what any Halo fan is going to want to go, okay, yeah, no, this is in the right hands, this. While everybody was going to be disappointed, our long-term goal is to deliver the best Halo game we've ever delivered, and let's keep that goal and do that when we can. So, I think, look, we've said it before countless times, people's opinions are taken into consideration, so they're not stupid. They will have seen the memes, they will have seen the countless videos and listened to the countless podcasts that will have been sort of having a go at how that game was appearing. Initially, they'd said ray tracing wasn't going to be available from day one. Are they going to fit stuff like that in now? Is this what they're saying they'll try and get in? I think it's the right thing to do for Xbox, for launching the Series X. Yes, they're not going to have Halo as a launch game, but I don't think that's too much of a problem. I don't think there's going to be as quick of a move over to this next generation as previous ones. And I think getting the game that's going to look better, run better, be a more filled out game is what people are after. And I think you're going to throw this out in the same breath as how the Cyberpunk delay has gone down. That's because they've said the game's not ready yet, we need to do more. I think it's the absolute right thing to do. Some people are saying, well, that's it, that's the generation lost again. I just don't think you can say that about a next gen based upon this one game. It would have been the only other Halo game that was a launch game, which would have been interesting to see. But otherwise, we'll have to keep an eye on that. There is no window. It is purely sometime in 2021. So they may even push it back to next sort of holiday season, as you guys call it.
Holiday season.
So, yeah, watch this space with that one. Like I say, it's not a huge story, but it's definitely a story that we wanted to cover. Matt, huge news. No, it's not about gaming. It's actually about this podcast. So, some of you may have realised that we had an advert at the start of our last episode. Matt, we're legit now. We've got adverts.
Finally. I mean, we've been waiting for, Game Pass to sponsor us, but that's all right. That's still on the horizon. Maybe sometime far away, but at least we got an advert now, and we're finally super official.
I know, and it's really cool because we're doing the advert, which is really funny. So, a little bit different flow to the show, but we will be back right after this short break. Right, welcome back. We're going to crack back on with the news because there's still so much to cover in this episode. Not only are we a weekly podcast now, Matt, but we are dealing with breaking news. So this has just come out as we're recording.
Breaking
news. This is coming out and still being updated as we speak. Epic is suing Apple after Fortnite has been removed from the iOS App Store. Matt, you've been reading into this story a little bit as it's been sort of coming out. What's happening here? What's kicking off?
The basic foundation and argument is really the fact that Apple has such a strict policy on its Apple Play Store, essentially. And you could kind of see that from our last podcast when we talked about the xCloud and how that's not coming to the Apple Podcast Store. Steam had issues with it. Stadia, which depends on streaming, isn't on Apple Store either. It's just they have a very tight environment on all the apps that go into their stores. And the main crux of this is that every purchase that goes through Apple's store, they get a 30% cut. And Epic Games kind of had a workaround with this on Google Play Store where you could buy it directly from their website. You get a little bit of a discount, but of course they get the full money from it. And this is what happened is that they updated the Fortnite app to basically mirror that is where you make a purchase and it's making a direct purchase from them instead of going through Apple. Apple didn't like this. It's not within their guidelines and the policies. So they cut it off. They discontinued it. And if you want to reinstall it, you can't. If you wanted to be a new person to install it, you can't. And the people who still haven't installed could probably play it for a little bit longer because until they need to update the game. And once they update it, they're not going to be able to play it because it's not on the Apple Store. So Fortnite is basically being held hostage on the Apple Store because Apple is not being able to bend to the ever-evolving nature of games. Epic Games has always kind of stood for the people who make games should get more money. You could look at Epic Game Store on the PC client for that. They is a direct competition to Steam. They offer way more money to the developers. They only take a smaller price cut than Steam does. So this kind of falls in line with what they believe as a company. And I do think that I think this is good. I think this is what is needed. Though I am an Apple phone user, I do think that their store is constricting some expansions and further advancements of games and streaming within the Apple Store storefront.
Yeah, I think it's this. So you've got Epic Games, a huge business. Obviously, they're part of Tencent, aren't they? I think, which is an even bigger business. Obviously, Tencent, very famous for mobile games as well. And then you've also got Microsoft kicking off about Apple too. I think this could be the time, this could be the occasion that maybe, just maybe, gets Apple to change its stance on a few things. Because to be honest, it's getting a bit ridiculous, this. Now, I think we've seen it before where apps have taken themselves off, so it's a direct download from a website. But I think Apple needs to understand that they need to be the ones being flexible here, and not Epic or any of the other developers, you know, including Microsoft in that. So, I mean, there's a hashtag going around, you know, to help free the game from this sort of purgatory it's found itself in. So it's developing constantly. It's going to be very, very interesting to see where this goes. But other than that, for the moment, there's not really a huge amount left to say on it, really, because, like I say, breaking news, that is, breaking news.
On a weekly basis.
Breaking gaming news weekly.
Apple needs to be flexible on this, though. I apologize, but I do think Apple needs to be flexible on this because like, for instance, the xCloud and not being able to be put on any Apple devices has made me not want an iPad, and I have been looking more for Android supported devices. So it's really, if you're a gamer that's wanting xCloud, that I don't know why you would want Stadia, but if you want Stadia, or Fortnite, I mean, this isn't going to be the only instant. I mean, as gaming evolves, more streaming devices are going to come out, more games are going to be utilizing cross-platform between phone and consoles, so this isn't going to be an isolated incident. So it's going to affect Apple in the long run, that more and more gamers are going to realize, well, you know, Apple is not as friendly to gaming as Android, Samsung devices, and we're going to make the switch, and that's ultimately what I'm going to be doing, at least with the tablet front, because I want to play xCloud, and I just can't do that on my phone until probably ever. It's going to be years until they can work out a deal.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, this, but like I say, I think if anybody's going to force Apple's hand, it's going to be Microsoft and Epic working together, hopefully, and maybe others. Maybe we'll see a boycott. I don't know, but interesting story developing every minute. So we're going to jump back to some more Xbox news, and this sort of came out of nowhere. It appeared, I think it was in the actual conversation regarding the Halo Infinite delay. Xbox Series X is officially launching in November. No date, still can't pre-order, but it is launching in November. It's only a small story, this, again. We still don't know price, Matt. You can't pre-order it, and we are 3 months away. What are we thinking with this?
Well, first, I just want to go on a limb and say it coming out in November, I don't think, if you follow games at all, it's not a surprise. It's the holiday season. Usually stuff comes out during November, October, November, December timeframe. So that wasn't a huge surprise. And really, this trickle of information is just Sony and Microsoft playing chicken with each other, because Sony does like a little bit of information, Microsoft does, and they're just gonna, I foresee this just going back and forth. At some point, someone will give an actual date and open up the pre-orders, and I still think that Microsoft still has an Xbox Series Y or S or something up its sleeve as a digital only or a cheaper version of the Series X. And they both still haven't released price points, like you said. They're just playing chicken. They're one company will release something, the other one will do that, and they're going back and forth. And this kind of ties in with the whole Halo Infinite. Though it's not going to be a launch title, I still think Series X is a great buy, because it has so many games that it's going to have at launch. Though it might not have Series X exclusive games, it's going to be backwards compatible four generations. You're going to have Game Pass games that are coming along with it. And there was a small piece of information that I do want to put out, just because I like the game. Gears Tactics is coming out for Xbox Series X this year, and coming out for Xbox in general. If you don't remember that, it came out exclusively for only PC back in April, and I played a little bit of it. I haven't gotten back into it, but I want to. It's a great game, and I think that's a great piece to add to the library of console gaming and add to the Xbox Series X. So there's not a lot to say on it, but it wasn't surprising, and this story will be developing as we get closer to the date. Sony and Xbox are going to go toe-to-toe with their information that they're going to release.
Yeah, so I think watch this space. Like you say, when this console comes out, it's not going to be launching with no games. It's going to be launching with 100-plus games, thanks to Game Pass, and that's crazy. It's crazy. I don't think any console's ever had that many games immediately available. Our last news story is regarding EA, our friends, who've actually not appeared on the show for a little while, which is interesting, and in some ways even more interesting, because EA are not giving their executives a bunch of money. So basically, you may know this, but a lot of bigwigs at the top of businesses quite often end up getting a huge amount of money for work that they've maybe done. But obviously, difficult times we're going through right now. COVID is having an impact even on the multi-billion sort of dollar industry that is video games. It's interesting. In July, the investment group that backs EA made a complaint saying that its executives, particularly the CFO, Chief Financial Officer, Blake Jorgensen, and CTO, not sure what that stands for, Kenneth Moss, are making way too much money while the company underperforms and lays off employees. Which is very interesting, because I think that's probably very apt and the right thing to do. But a proposed pay package to these guys was rejected. 74, so nearly three quarters of the vote saying no to it. I think this is a really good thing to see, isn't it, Matt?
I think it's a great thing to see. Now, I don't want to mix this up with they're doing it out of the goodness of their hearts. Of course, their mind is always on their wallet, and it just makes financial sense that they're looking at the product they have invested in, which is EA, and it has been underperforming or not performing as well as they would hope. So why give this guy who's supposed to be running it more money? Like I said, they're not doing it out of the goodness of their heart. I mean, they cite that employees are getting lost, and they are. They lost employees, and which is a terrible thing. And now, I don't want to mix this up that I don't disagree with this. I 100% agree with this. He shouldn't be getting paid more. I think he should be getting paid less than what he is now. They should be keeping more employees, or at least paying their employees more. But that's a whole another conversation. But this is a good thing that they're finally holding this man accountable for underperforming and not doing as well as he should be within this company. And hopefully this wakes, it probably won't, but hopefully this wakes him up to more consumer-friendly practices that might jumpstart their improvement within the financial area. And maybe we're seeing a little bit of that with this new Star Wars game coming out, the X-Wing one, the one where it's just the 4v4, where it's only like $30 a standalone single-player multiplayer game. So maybe they are trying to do more consumer-friendly stuff, but they just haven't gotten around to where it reflects on their consumer financial reports yet. But I think the underlying thing is that I'm glad that he's being held accountable and he's not getting more money for not doing his job, essentially.
I mean, it's not going to dwell on this too much more, but it's a bit crazy. Jorgensen was down to get $19.5 million dollars this year as part of this plan, which is up from $9.4 million. So what do they feel they've earned another $1.1 million for? I would love them to tell us where they feel they've earned that.
I want to hear their reasoning.
Well, I think it's good to talk about a business making right decisions for the business and for some of the employees that maybe aren't being paid £10.1 million more than they were the year before. Like you say, they're not necessarily doing this out the goodness of their own heart, but in some ways it's saving a few jobs by doing this. It's meaning certain people are still going to have a livelihood going forwards. And even in the gaming industry, which is doing incredibly well regardless of what's gone on with COVID, I think it's good to see them being responsible through this. For sure, for sure. So, perfect. So that's all the news. Wow, that was a lot. There was a lot there. Game of the week, Matt. What are you thinking?
I think we're gonna come around to Forza Horizon. I feel like you have similar feelings about it. That it's a great game. It's an amazing game. It added the seasons into it from Forza Horizon 3 and 2. The game is extremely beautiful and detailed. There's a stupid amount of cars. You can detail them to your heart's content. There's a whole lot of content and racing. There's seasonal content that goes around. It's just packed full of stuff. There's DLCs that at least one half is completely amazing. The other half setting is garbage and the rest of it's really good. That's my personal thought. But overall, the foundation of the game itself is still amazing to this day, and it still gets updates, and it's doing really well. And I think it rightfully, though we haven't played a lot of other stuff, I still believe that it should be the game of the weekend, and it's on Game Pass, so you listeners can play it for free, and Davila could probably go pay it $60 for it.
And do you know what? I wouldn't have a problem if he spent $60 on this game, because it's actually worth it.
On Forza Horizon 4, yeah.
Yeah.
A little more understanding. I don't know. If he still had Game Pass, I don't know if it... But you know what? It's a little more understanding than paying $60 for Anthem.
I mean, save your money, Davila, and buy Skater XL. perfect. Okay. I couldn't get out of it, even with the technical glitch from last week. So Matt is insistent...
Yeah, because I quizzed you last week, too.
Yeah. Matt is insistent he wants to quiz me this week, so... You never know, maybe it looks like the recordings all worked. So I can't get out of this one. Go on then, Matt. What have we got for trivia this week?
Let's just say if the recording messes up this time, you're definitely quizzing me next time. How about that?
Okay, yeah, perfect.
Before we jump in, I don't want the Nintendo fans to jump all over me, so I looked at the Miyamoto quote that I completely butchered in the first
totally butchered podcast. It's
a delayed game is eventually good, a bad game is bad forever. So that fits with Halo Infinite, and I wanted to make sure I clarify, because I just completely butchered it and I just could not remember it, but that's the quote, and I said something kind of like that, I hope. So we're going to move on from that. I just wanted to clarify.
No, that's fine. I've listened to three different podcasts that have covered that story, and all three have used that quote. Oh, my goodness.
Use that same quote?
Yeah. So that quote has probably been Googled an awful lot. Anyway, Matt, hit me with your trivia.
All right. I tried to incorporate some questions involving what you've played and what we covered. These are probably gonna be hard because I didn't think I would have to quiz you because I quizzed you last time, but okay. You said that you've read all the biographies of the people of the operators on Siege, right?
Yeah, at some point I have, yeah.
Okay. Where was Mute born? You have to give me a city because I know what country he lives in.
Oh, okay. Is it... I feel like this might be it, and I don't know where I've seen this. Is it Manchester? England.
Manchester.
Yeah.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, it's either there or London.
No, it says that he's from York, England.
Oh, York. Okay, so, you know, in the north. That's fine. Okay, yeah, York. Yeah.
And he went to college. He went to University of Cambridge.
Cambridge.
Said that right, right?
Oh, my goodness.
The last podcast.
the problem is, the okay, problem is, nobody else heard that bit. Oh, you've just reminded me. Carry on.
Oh, my gosh. I can't. Oh, I completely forgot. No one heard that bit. And that bit is for... Well, I still have that recording on here, so maybe we'll release it to the listeners, but it's me butchering... Just for everyone wondering, it's me butchering a whole bunch of British city names, so just look forward to that.
butchered. Absolutely butchered.
Moving on. But I think I butchered one or two. The other two I did all right. Like Cambridge, I did all right.
Cambridge.
That's what I've been saying.
Cambridge.
Anyways, okay, I'm moving on. When did Fortnite come out?
Oh. I'm going to go with 2017.
Final answer?
Oh, is it? Yeah, let's go 2017 when Fortnite came out. Yeah.
Look at you getting the answer right. Yep, Fortnite came out in 2017.
I thought you were going to be really, like, nasty to me because Fortnite was being sort of shown at E3 from, like, 2012, wasn't it? And it was the whole Save the World mode, wasn't it?
Yeah, Save the World, like, horde building mode thing.
Yeah, and then eventually they just came out of that Battle Royale thing out of nowhere.
Yeah. So this is kind of in line with the other one because Fortnite kind of came out as the hype was building for the Battle Royale. Brandon Green, the creator of PUBG, PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds, what was the game that he worked on before PUBG, excluding mods for Arma or anything like that? What was the one game that he worked on before PUBG?
Ooh. So H1Z1 is a mod. That's a mod of Arma. I think. Is it not?
Okay.
DayZ's a mod of Arma. Because it's basically Arma. I'm going to go H1Z1. Hasn't that studio gone out of business, actually?
You are right.
Okay, good.
It's H1Z1. Now, you're right. DayZ was a mod of Arma, and H1Z1 might have started off as a mod, but it became its own separate game. It became an actual individual game that he continued to work on, and then he flipped over
to,
to what, Blueside or something? To PUBG.
Because wasn't his... his actual name is player gamertag in H1Z1 was Player Unknown, wasn't it? And then that's
Player Unknown.
Yeah. Cool. I'm doing well this week.
You're doing well. All right. So this one's just a shot in the dark. When did EA's Skate 1 come out? Do you need some, like, multiple choice? Do you need a time frame bracket? Or you kind of, you got this?
No, I tell you what. Chuck me some multiple choice. That might just make me feel a little bit better.
All right. It's either going to be 2006, 2007, 2008, or 2005. Well, okay. I don't know why it went that direction. So just do 2005 through 2008. Nine.
It was a
2005, 2006, 2007, 2008.
It was a 360 game.
And a PlayStation game. You can't let PlayStation 3.
Sorry. So I think based on that, it's 2008.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
2007.
Oh, wow, okay.
So close.
Darn it. Ugh, I hate this game so much.
And you had to play it 2 weeks in a row, too.
Yeah. Was that it? Did I do okay?
Yep.
I did good.
You did alright. You got a 50%, which is still failing, but, you know, you did better than what most people expected of you.
Well, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Exceeding expectations. Matt, we've done it. We've made it to the end of another really good episode, and hopefully people get to hear all of the episode, which would be really good. Really important sort of thing from us, I think, will be, even though last week's episode maybe didn't go as we'd planned, you guys still went out and listened to it, you know, and that's really good. Honestly, it makes me smile when I see how many people listen to our episodes, because this was just supposed to be me and Matt just talking, and then maybe three people will listen, and two of them will be us. Yeah.
And the other one probably your mom or something.
Exactly, yeah. No, my mom doesn't listen. she's like we just said about the better than we expected. So honestly, it really means a lot. And I think if you guys really, you know, have enjoyed it, and I think some really easy ways you can help spread the word a little bit. So if you're listening to us on any sort of service, leave a review there. Leave a like, you know, put a thumbs up, whatever it is on that particular podcasting service. Matt, we're on social media. Where can the good people find us on there?
We're on all the major social media platforms. Facebook is one that we tend to quite often, but actually we tend to Instagram and Twitter just as often now. We have finally figured out a way to link all of them together where we can post, and it posts simultaneously across all of them. But Facebook is the one with the bigger following that we tend to interact with our listeners more often. And I want to make it known that we want you to leave reviews. We want you to leave comments and posts for us to check out games that you liked, to, you know, to play games, to cover stories that you want us to cover. And we will love to pull your comments into our podcast. It's really, we want more interaction with you guys. We love having interaction with you guys. We love pulling in listeners into our shows like Thomas and Davila. I don't want this all to be positive. There's stuff that we can improve upon. We want you guys to leave comments and telling us how to improve upon, like, if someone told me in the beginning episodes that, Matt, you really need to get a new microphone, I probably would have gotten it a little bit sooner.
Whoa.
I really encourage you. Your opinion doesn't count, Gareth. Anyways, but yeah, social media. Just interact with us on Facebook. Comment what you want us to cover, what games you want us to play, and we'll report back. And we'll, and if you interact with us, if you want to come onto the show, we would love to have you guys.
And yeah, just to add to that, public service announcement. If you are going to put games into the comments section, can you please just put in brackets if it's on Game Pass? This is mostly for Davila. We don't want him spending extra money buying games that actually turns out he can get for free. Don't worry, Joe, we've got you back. We will maybe not make so much fun of you next episode. No promises. Perfect. Well, we've had jokes, we've had news, we've had Gareth doing mediocrely okay at quizzes. So, sounds like this has been your Gaming News Weekly.
Thanks, guys. We appreciate it.